ராமாய ராம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. அயோத்தியா காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 82, தி மார்ச் டு தி வுட்ஸ். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. The holy sage cast his eye over the vast assembly that were seated, as became their rank and station, dressed in robes rich and costly, all eagerly looking forward to the coronation of Bharata. The place blazed, as it were, with radiance as a clear autumn sky at night inlaid with stars. He called them to order, the officials of the state and the citizens, and said to Bharata, "Prince, Dasharatha ruled over this kingdom well and wisely, and had been in consequence raised to the skies where he sits enthroned with the gods. His dying words invested you with the sovereignty of this broad realm, rich in wealth and corn. Rama, whose soul cleaves to the duty of fulfilling the commands of his sire, even as the glory of the sun is ever inseparable from it, has abode by truth and walked in the steps of the wise. He departed for the woods, leaving the kingdom to your care. Gratify the hearts of your subjects by accepting the crown and rule over this kingdom safe and happy, so willingly bestowed upon you by your father and your elder brother. Let me see your vassal princes from the east, south, west, and north, and the islands pour their tribute of gems and gold at your feet." But Bharata knew full well that a younger brother violated the traditions of the kings if he took the crown while the elder was alive. He would not be the first to tread that path of treason and infamy. So he transported himself in thought to Rama's feet and entreated him to come back. The memory filled his eyes with tears and choked his utterance. Possessed of youth, wealth, and power that placed within one's reach every joy that life could give, the great-souled prince put them away from him and said to himself, "Wonderful past belief! If one wants to persuade another to do something peculiarly atrocious or wicked, he generally does it in secret. But Saint Vashishtha, whose words and counsel direct the footsteps of millions on the path of life, has deemed me so low and abandoned that he does not hesitate to advise me towards this cruel and infamous act in the presence of the millions that inhabit this room. I shall even take a leaf from this book and, forgetting the reverence and respect due to him, shall upbraid him in the presence of the very same people." He faced the vast audience and cried, "You know full well that I have no other stay, no other support here and hereafter than Rama, in whom I take my full surrender. It is supremely virtuous and kindly on your part not to allow me that much privilege and comfort, but to assemble and set your united strength to ruin me. Is this Ayodhya or a howling wilderness infested with thieves and robbers? Is it the loyal and virtuous subjects of Dasharatha that I see gathered before me, or bands of brigands and highwaymen that have gathered here to rob me in open daylight and in the presence of all men of all that I hold dear in my life? Yon Vashishtha was selected as the high priest of the race of Ikshvaku, that he may bring fame and prosperity to it. His clear vision sees through the past, the present, and the future. Doubtless he has the utmost welfare of men lying at his heart when he advises me so earnestly to adopt this course of action. Behold, with such a holy and virtuous personage for my spiritual master, and following carefully his well-considered advice, do you doubt that I and others of my line would secure to themselves speedily and with ease every good here and hereafter? Rama has duly sat with his teacher and learnt the wisdom of the ages. He has devoted much thought to the unveiling of their inner mysteries and has exemplified in his life everything good and great. Do you give your consent to my usurping the crown that belongs to him by right, I who am guided by the same rules of right and wrong?" Dasharatha quit his hold in life the very moment Rama took himself out of his presence. And I, who have his blood in his veins, shall I dare to rob Rama of his kingdom? Why, a little thought as to my nature and status will convince you that I am entirely unfit to rule this empire. It belongs to Rama as much as I belong to him. How can one item of his goods pretend to rule another? If it were possible, this kingdom may as well rule me. There be some in this world who set aside their parents and usurp the throne, but never for a moment class me with them. It may occur to you to say, a gem and the casket that holds it are both the property of the owner, but the casket guards the gem. Here you forget that the casket has been enjoined to guard the gem by the possessor and has been provided with lock and key to enable it to do so. Rama has not commanded me to look after this kingdom till he should return. A jewel that we wear is placed by us in a case when we have no use for it. So, if Rama, who should, in all reason, rule over this kingdom himself, does not accede to our earnest prayers and arguments, but entrusts it to me, saying, I have something more important to attend to, have charge of it till I am free, then by the might and power he would impart to me, I will watch over this kingdom as his servant, occupying the position of the box that enshrines the gem. So it behooves us all to exert our utmost to bring him back here. First, let us go to him and disabuse him of the idea that this kingdom is mine by right of the boons granted to Kaikeyi by his majesty. The firstborn of the late king, superior in every way to all others, the very soul of righteousness, the first and the best of the monarchs of the race of the sun or the moon, Rama and no other deserves to sit on the throne of King Dasharatha. If I should stoop to this terrible sin favored by the mean and the wicked, that shuts upon me forever the gates of paradise. I would earn eternal infamy for the monarchs of the Ikshvaku line that had held sway over this empire without a stain, without a blot, since the days of Vaivasvata Manu. I have no art or part in the crime of Kaikeyi. I wash my hands of it. My whole nature abhors it. In expiation, I clasp my palms in reverence to Rama, who roams in the distant forests. I am resolved to bring him back wherever he may be. I challenge anyone to show another as worthy to be the ruler of the three worlds. His noble words, consonant with justice and truth, sank deep into the hearts of the assembled multitudes and drew them with irresistible force to the feet of Rama, while tears of joy coursed down their cheeks. Bharata continued, if I find it impossible to persuade Rama to return his steps back to Ayodhya, I will abide in the woods with the noble Lakshmana, whose heart never fails in respect and reverence towards his elders. I desire that all here should go with me. In your presence, I will bring him back by any means, even though I should have to resort to strong measures. I have sent before me to clear the path, hired laborers and others from the villages who work by turns without wages. I follow them forthwith. He turned to Sumantra and said, let the army prepare to march. It was done. The ministers and captains rejoiced to hear that it was decided to journey to the woods to bring back their beloved Rama. The wives of the military officers hurried their husbands to start with as little delay as possible. The captains looked to the transport of the troops on horses, chariots and other conveyances. Bharata observed that the army was ready for the march. He took respectful leave of Vasishtha and directed Sumantra to bring round his chariot, which was done. Sumantra, said he, it shall be my care to see that Rama is soon back among us if my entreaties could effect it. The whole world shall rejoice in peace and prosperity when I restore Rama to Ayodhya. Let it be known to the captains and the troops that they march with me to the woods. Their trusted counselor gladly communicated the orders of Bharata to the officials of the state, the captains, and the friends of the king. And palace and mansion presented a busy sight through the hours of the night, while Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras bustled about to get ready everything towards a long journey. Noble elephants, horses, camels, mules, chariots, with every comfort and luxury. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.